This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I've got two exciting stories for you this week, beginning with High Adventure. We'll hear their story from July 2nd, 1950, titled Return Ticket. After that, it's Escape and the Gladiator, their episode from August 1st, 1951.
I threw the chair at Big Boy just in time to deflect the shot. I got out the door and ran for the woods as he untangled himself and came after me. He'd catch me sooner or later unless I figured a way out, and if he caught me, I'd never come back alive. Return Ticket, a Big Woods story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called High Adventure. This is High Adventure, the telling of strange stories of strong men and smooth women living the greatest and most exciting moment of a lifetime. Their moment of high adventure. And on the agenda at this meeting is a story of action called Return Ticket. The author and director, Robert Monroe. And to tell it, here is the man who lived it, Jack Regan.
Well, when I first started out for the number 5 camp, what I knew about a sawmill and logging operation, you could write on the back of a postage stamp, but the boss said go, and a job's a job. Freeman's number 5 sawmill was up in the Red Rock Mountains at the other end of nowhere, and it took me a day and a half on a jerky lumber train to make it. I didn't have to worry about missing my stop because it was the end of the line. The rattler puffed up and squealed to a stop, and there I was. All around the track were piles of lumber drying out, and the forest looked like there'd been a war going on. That's what a sawmill does, I found out. They go after the big stuff and crush the small growth getting it out. When I swung down from the train, I saw there was a store and a bar on the other side of the tracks. I was heading for the bar when a short guy with a hawk nose saw me and hurried over.
Well, you got back quick.
Huh?
Didn't expect you till maybe Thursday.
I don't get it.
And look at that mustache.
What's wrong with it?
You wait till Big Boy sees it.
Look, mister, you know who you're talking to.
Do I know who I'm talking to, he says. Where'd you get them fancy clothes? The city sure took care of you, Benny.
Say, who do you think I am?
Now, Benny, take it easy. I was just kidding you. Can't you take a little kidding?
I'm not Benny.
Not Benny, he says. Hey, let's go and lose and have a drink.
Now, wait a minute.
You've got plenty of time, haven't you?
I gotta get to the mill if I'm gonna do it.
I know, Big Boy. Let him wait. Besides, Sal's there.
Who?
City noises make you deaf? Sal.
Oh, Sal.
Come on. Over here in the corner, huh?
What's the difference?
Big Boy wouldn't want you to get in no fights just when you come back from the city.
Maybe I like fights.
You wouldn't be Benny if you didn't.
Look, I'm not
this
the guy...
good enough. I'll bet Big Boy will be surprised you coming back so fast.
Look, let's get this straight once for all, eh? When I got off the train, you took me for somebody you know.
No, of course I know you.
You think you do, but you don't. You don't know me. I'm a guy named
Getting
Jack...
Getting high hat, Benny?
What?
What's this talk about knowing you?
Maybe you can explain to this guy, lady.
No, I'm lady.
The usual, Benny.
Huh? I want soda with mine, Lou.
Always, you gotta be fancy. Pick him up at the bar.
Okay. Well, so you got back.
I don't know what this is all about, but you've got...
New mustache, new clothes. Too bad the city couldn't make any other improvements.
Oh, Sal, that's no way to greet a feller just back from a trip. Go get the drinks.
You may look different, Benny, but I'll bet you got the same rotten little mind.
Oh, wait a minute, sister.
Get the drink, Sal, and make it the special for Benny here, huh?
Oh, all right.
I'll get him.
You?
Sit still.
Somebody beat some decency into you down in the city?
I told him I'm not your Benny, and now I'm telling you.
Do something nice for anybody, and I'll believe you.
I'll get the drink.
No, no, Benny. You get him, Sal.
Well, if Benny's...
I want to talk to Benny. You get him.
It's your party.
Hurry back.
I will, but not for you, Benny.
Bet you didn't find a better looker down the city, did you?
She's got what it takes.
Yeah, that's what you always say.
You work up at the mill?
Of course I do. I run the cutoff. You know that.
Huh. What's your name?
Look, Benny, this is me, Shug.
Shug?
Come off it, Benny. I've been working with you for a year now. Always you gotta think up some joke.
And you're the only one who gets a laugh. It's about time somebody told you the jokes aren't funny. Here.
Oh, thanks.
Well, here's luck.
What do you call that stuff? It tastes like...
rat poison.
You're not kidding.
Sure she's kidding. Hate yourself, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Oh, tasted worse stuff, but I don't know where.
Right here, last week.
Now, lady, I want you to tell me what this...
this lady business. You pick up that in the city, too?
Well, Sal. That's your name, isn't it?
That's her name, he says.
Don't start it, Benny.
I'm not Benny.
Okay, you're Jack something or other, but don't start it.
Don't start what?
You know what. Every time you get a drink and you have to fight you off.
Well, I won't bother you. This...
yes?
This... it's hot in here.
Nah, it's just you and them city clothes, Benny.
Maybe. Maybe so. What are you looking at me for?
What's wrong, huh? You don't want me to look at you?
It's hot out. Oh, the drink must have...
you never could hold him, Benny.
I tell you, I'm not Benny.
Want another drink, huh?
No, I... Can't lift my arm. Too heavy. What you looking at me like that for? You think...
Another drink, Benny?
The room was beginning to spin, and I let my head rest on the table. First time out, and I fall for one of the oldest in the business. A Mickey in the drink. A couple of drops in one drink, and the room tilts up on its side. I feel the guy's shirt going through my pockets, but I couldn't do anything about it. It was lead in my arms. The bench was sliding sideways, and I was sliding with it. Down through the brown to black, brown to black, brown to black. Think again. First, I thought the harsh ripping and grinding was inside my head. It felt big enough. When I got clear in my head, I realized the sound was a sawmill somewhere nearby. Each time it hit a knot, the noise sent needles of pain through my forehead. There'd been a strong Mickey in that drink. My face was wet. I thought it was sweat, but when it splashed my ears, I knew it was water. Someone was pouring a pail of it over me and slapping me in the face.
Come out of it, Benny. Come out of it, will you?
Quit.
I warned you about drinking, you little punk.
Will you quit?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Quit slapping me.
Where's the dough? Snap out of it, will you?
I'm all right.
Oh, sure. You'd still be on the floor at Lou's if Shug hadn't brought you back.
Shug? Yeah, that's the guy.
What'd you do with the dough?
I haven't got any.
And all that. Been through your clothes.
Never had it.
What?
I'm Jack.
Didn't Sanders give it to you?
Who's Sanders?
What are you trying to pull, Benny?
I'm not trying...
Didn't you see Sanders?
I didn't see Sanders.
$20,000. Now, where is it?
You got me mixed up with another guy.
Huh?
My name is Jack Regan.
I waited a day and a half for you to wake up and you gave me jokes.
All right. So it's a joke.
I figured you were the one guy I could trust. I would have gone myself, but I never know when one of them punks from the home office is going to show.
I see.
They could get wise easy if they got up here with the surveyor.
Yeah, easy.
I told you they were a smart outfit. That's why I wanted you to work with me. Now, Benny, no more kidding. Didn't you get the 20 grand?
No, I didn't.
Why?
Well,
I know. You hit all the bars in the city. Then somebody poured you on the train.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Nah, I figure you wouldn't.
Never could hold my drinks, could I?
That's why you ought to leave it alone.
$20,000. That's a lot of money.
Huh?
Big stack of lumber.
It bought a big stack. Big enough to... What's the idea?
I was just thinking.
Go on.
Maybe I ought to have a cut.
You'll get your cut. I told you that.
Yeah, but maybe a bigger cut, eh? Like half?
You little punk. You have got the dough.
I might have.
You're not going to get away with it, Benny.
Now listen.
You listen to me. I'm going to phone Sanders down in the city. he says you didn't pick up the 20 grand, then I'll know you never got past the bars down there.
Maybe this Benny of yours
Quit
did
Quit playing get... games. Sandra says he did give you the dough. You better deliver. Fast. I don't know what you're up to. You can kid all you want, but don't kid with me. I want that 20 G's.
Oh, go ahead. Phone your guy, Sanders. Get your 20 G's. My head aches. Leave me alone.
Should have never sent you in the first place. I don't know better.
Let me sleep, will you?
Oh, no, you don't. Get out of here and over to the mill. You're on the rip.
Sure.
You blew that dough or stashed it away to cross me up, Benny. Watch out.
I'll take care of myself.
Yeah, you always do.
You want me, big boy?
Yeah, get Benny here over to the mill. Put him on the big saw. And look to see he don't fall over.
You leave it to me, big boy.
The city was too much for him.
I know. Yes, yeah, sure.
Benny. Benny, I'm talking to you.
Huh? Yeah?
Don't think up any more jokes.
All right.
Shave off that mustache.
Look, if I want to go...
I said shave it off.
Okay.
Come on, Benny. Big boy don't like mustaches. That scar on his lip.
Yeah.
Let go.
Oh, smart guy. What was the idea of the Mickey?
I can't breathe.
Gonna tell me?
Sure, sure.
Well?
I'll tell you anything you want to know. Sure will, Benny.
The Mickey my drink down at Lou's.
Mickey?
Don't act dumb.
I don't know about no Mickey.
You and the girl
put... Yeah, maybe Sal put her to you. She went after the drinks.
She knew she was going to.
No, no, you was lit when you got off the train. Remember? You was planning it to make us think you was somebody else. It was some joke.
Yeah, some joke.
You even had a billfold with this other guy's name on it and a letter.
How'd you know that?
It dropped out of your coat when I carried you up here to the mill.
Where is it?
I got it right here. Was saving it to give it to you when you come around.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Money's all there. Count it. $60.
All right, where's the letter?
The letter? The letter.
Give it to me.
I haven't got it. You must have lost it along the road somewhere.
Don't hand me that.
Honest, Benny. You lost it.
All right, all right. Let's get to work. Sugar led the way over to the mill where I went to work handling the big saw. Steam-driven disc, 8 feet in diameter, that gouged through the length of a log, slicing it into planks. Didn't take me long to get the trick of running it. Sugar checked off my mistakes to a hangover. While I worked that day, I had a chance to think over what happened. This guy Benny must be a dead ringer for me, or maybe I really was Benny myself, and all the life as Jack Regan was a dream. Anyway, it served very nicely and fitted into my plans for me to be this Benny for the time being. I didn't make any slip. If the real Benny didn't get back too quick, I could get my job done and go home. And I got to thinking about the girl, Sal. When we quit that night, I washed up, shaved off the mustache, and headed for Lou's place. Lou himself was behind the bar, and he didn't seem happy to see me.
You again.
That's bad, huh?
I'd pay you to stay away if you take it.
What's the matter? Don't I spend enough money?
You're trouble, and I don't like trouble.
Where's Sal?
Around. Big boy made you shave off the tickler.
Look, don't get me mad.
Sal's over there in the booth.
Thanks. Can I sit down?
You mean you're asking me? Well.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks.
Good. That makes two of us.
I don't believe it.
What?
You passing up a drink.
Well, a guy can change.
Not you.
I learned. I don't like Mickey's.
Oh.
Did a very smooth, baby. Very smooth.
Thank you.
I suppose you tell me why.
Why?
That's right.
I don't mind telling you. For $100.
Who gave you $100?
I didn't get it.
Sure.
Might be.
What do you need with $100?
We won't go into that again.
Yes, we will. If you wanted it that much, you should have come to me.
How many times have I asked you? And what do I get? You don't even remember.
Here. 20, 40... 50. Give you the other half on payday. Well?
Is this another joke, Benny?
It's no joke.
No strings?
Not a one.
I've told you what I want it for.
Yeah, sure you have.
And you're still giving it to me.
There it is.
You all right, Sal?
Lou, look. Benny just gave me 50, and he's going to give me the rest on payday.
What's the catch?
And Lou, she wanted it, so I gave it to her.
Well, you might change your mind. She's not going to have to wait till payday. I'll get the other 50 for you right now, Sal.
Lou, I...
You want a drink, Benny?
No, thanks.
One on the house, it'll be.
I'm doing all right without it.
If I didn't know better, I'd say you wasn't... There's a train down tonight, Sal. We'll get you on it.
You're swell, Lou.
Guys just don't change, that's all. They don't change, not guys like Benny.
I'm finally gonna get out of here. Back east where I have friends and people treat you decent.
Are you good?
It'll do me a lot of good. Thanks, Ben.
Forget it.
I don't understand it.
What?
You knew I wanted the 100 just to get away. You used to laugh when I talked about it. You wanted to keep me here. Now, you hand it over, just like that.
Guy can change.
I never thought you would.
Oh, you're too good to be stuck up here in the hills.
That isn't what you said before.
Can we forget all the rest?
I wish I could.
Let's see how you got here in the first place.
What?
I said it's hard to figure why you came here in the first place.
Are you sick, Benny?
No, why?
You don't remember my dancing act? How the show broke up 6 months ago, your promise of a job here?
Oh, yeah, I know all that.
Then why the innocent act?
Well, I... Look, you got the money. What else do you want?
I'll pay it back as soon as I get back east. I'll find some of my old friends.
You don't owe me a thing.
Benny. Benny.
Hmm? Yeah?
What happened down the city?
Nothing.
Yes, it did. You're different. It's almost as if you're not the same person.
Suppose I'm not.
If you were this way all the time, maybe I...
Maybe what?
Maybe people would like you more.
Are you people?
I thought I knew you. But it's like another side of you I've never seen before. Like meeting a person for the first time.
I know. Sal, I want to tell you
something. Don't tell me anything, Benny. Tomorrow you'll be your own grimy self again. Cruel and thoughtless.
Sal, I'm not the
guy. Oh, don't spit. You had just one little moment of decency in you anyway. Goodbye.
So long, baby. I got up, walked over to the door, and went out. I didn't look back, but I knew that Sal wasn't as calm as she acted. She was puzzled, all right. This Benny must have been quite a character in more ways than one. I went back up the road to the sawmill, into the bunkhouse, and slept. Next morning, I was at the mill handling the big saw, slicing up the timber dragged in by the big cat tractors when Big Boy came down the trail from the office. He motioned me off the platform, and as I slid down to meet him, I saw his face was grim.
Come on up to the office.
What for?
I want to talk with you.
All right.
What's on your mind?
In the office.
Well?
I talked with Sanders on the phone. Where's the dough?
I haven't got it.
Sanders says he turned it over to you 4 days ago.
He did, huh?
I'm not going to play with you, Benny. What did you do with it?
Put a rifle shot in me, you'd never get it.
I can place them so they won't kill. The first couple of times.
Nice guy.
I'm nice until I'm crossed. Let's hear you talk.
Okay.
Well?
I got rolled for it.
What?
They slipped a Mickey in my drink.
You let city punks pull an old
gag. It wasn't in the city. It was up at Lou's right after I got off the train.
Lou did it? You can't make that stick. Lou's a guy...
It wasn't Lou. It was Sug and Sal.
What?
It was on your... Our pitch here, and he cut himself in. Took the roll off me when I was out.
Why, that yellow...
You want the 20,000? Ask Shug. He's got it.
You're giving it to me straight, Benny?
What else can I do with that rifle in my stomach?
Shug. That little sneaking... Hey. Why didn't you come out with it before?
I was going to try and get it back from myself before you found out.
Never lived down being rolled, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, we'll take care of that little punk.
Hey, there he goes.
Listening at the door.
Hold it, Chuck. Put a slug in your back. Come back here.
I'm coming, Big Boy. Now, take it easy.
Wouldn't think he had the nerve.
You never know.
All right, Chuck. Inside.
I didn't do nothing, Big Boy.
I hear different. Get in.
I was just coming up to...
Did you slip any here or make you up at Lowe's?
Now, Big Boy...
Did you?
Sure I did, but...
Where's the money you got off him?
I didn't get no money off him.
You want a slug in
He
your...
didn't have none.
Where is it?
I haven't got no money, big boy. I give him the Mickey because I was trying to help you.
More gags.
No. Look here. See, he was trying to cross you up, he was. Yes, that's it. He was trying...
What's
to... this? It's a letter I took of him when he was out from the Freeman Company. He was posing as a fellow named Jack Regan to them. That's what he was. He was going to sell you out to them. Tell them all about those extra carloads of lumber and the...
Shut up. What's the idea, Shug?
You know what the idea is. You was going to get money from the company for telling them about Big Boy. And...
You little... All that you're going to believe in, Big Boy? You took this off of Benny the other night?
Sure I did. Yeah, I figured he was up to something when he come back all dressed up and...
Who told you about those extra carloads?
I seen them. I noticed the waybills on the car.
Yeah. Well, Benny... You gonna believe him? This picture on the identification card is you. Only difference is a mustache.
Well, it's just a joke.
Another joke, huh?
Sure.
Well, this isn't gonna be a joke.
I threw the chair at Big Boy just in time to deflect the shot. I got out the door and ran for the woods as he untangled himself from the chair and came after me. I fired from the door and the shot clipped a tree just over my head. Big Boy was fast and he could shoot straight. I ran deeper into the woods, going off the dirt road and plowing through the underbrush. After a minute or so, I thought I'd lost him, and I stopped. I could hear him thrashing through behind me, so I started up again. I was beginning to get tired. I wasn't used to long cross-country runs. The ground started to rise, and I went up the side of a hill, trying to keep hidden the trees. And I had to rest. I leaned against a boulder and pulled air into my lungs. The bullet chipped the stone and sent splinters of rock cutting my face. I started out again. I knew I'd have to pull something or it'd be up with me. I doubled back down the hill on a diagonal, heading for the trail leading to the railroad. If I got to lose, he had a gun and then it'd be more even. I didn't stop to listen. I just kept fighting my way through. Finally, I hit the trail and started toward the railroad and lose. I walked because I was too tired to run. Big Boy caught me, he caught me. I was too tired. I just turned a bend in the trail when I got the shock. There was a guy coming toward me. I stopped and looked. So did he. It was like seeing yourself in a mirror.
Hey, you're,
Hello, Benny.
Yeah. Yeah.
You finally got back.
Yeah. I got back.
Welcome home.
Sure.
You see Sanders?
Huh? Oh. Yeah, sure.
Good.
Who are you?
Don't you know?
I wasn't standing here sober. I'd think you was me.
Maybe I am.
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it surprised me, too.
You me? Same face? Same voice? Same build? Same eyes? Even got my clothes on.
Yeah, they're up in the bunkhouse.
I got no brothers or relations.
I don't either, Benny.
Who are you?
Jack Regan.
Like seeing me.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I heard about it once. Each guy's got another guy somewhere on Earth just like him. They call it a...
You're double, Benny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's us. Doubles. Hey, I just thought of something.
What?
We could make some dough. Look so much like each other.
There's a lot of twins, Benny.
No, listen. I go do something, see? And you're sitting and talking with a cop. When I come back, the cop's our alibi.
Oh, I got you, Benny!
Hey, big boy, hey, look, I got it.
Try and cross me up, huh? All right, lay there and rot.
And so I brought Sal up here because she knows I didn't take no 20 grand off Benny when he was out.
Is that right, Sal?
He just took a wallet and a letter.
Big wallet?
No.
I give it back to Benny. It had 60...
Wait a minute.
Yeah, big boy?
Did Benny see you after that night?
Well, sure.
I'm not talking to you.
I saw him last night. I mean, I thought he
was... And he gave you the dough?
He gave me $50.
What about the rest of it?
That's all there was.
Thought you'd hold it for him.
Yeah, she was packing to catch a train.
That's... Sister, you want me to break your arm?
I don't know anything about...
Where'd you put it? Where's the dough?
Out in the woods, big boy.
What, you? I thought I had... What?
Get him, big boy!
You all right?
Yes.
I went down to Lou's, but you weren't there.
Shug came after me.
Yeah, Lou told me. I took his gun and got up here.
What about him?
Rap.
What are you going to do with him?
Let him be. There's no place he can run to. What happened to Shug?
He ran into the woods when Big Boy fell.
He'll come back. Can't hide in the woods and live. Big Boy knows that, so he won't try it.
You're not Benny.
No.
I didn't think so after last night. When Benny himself got off the train today, I could see the difference. Who are you?
Jack Regan. Freeman Home Office sent me up here to investigate lumber shortages and deliveries.
Oh?
Yeah, Big Boy and Benny had been routing extra carloads of lumber to a builder in the city, it seems. All I had to go on was a low output rate. Like, Benny offered an inside picture, so I just took advantage of it.
I didn't help, did I?
Not much.
I'm sorry.
It was a break, actually.
What?
Shug tried to cut himself in with a dope drink trick. Kind of give me time to figure the angle about Benny coming back with the 20,000 payment.
Where is Benny?
In the woods with a bullet in his head. Big Boy thought he was shooting me.
Benny wasn't good for anybody, not even himself.
No, guess not. Still gonna catch that train?
Yes.
A return ticket myself. Freeman Company will want a report.
Return ticket.
Yeah. Well, we better go.
Wait.
What's the matter?
Are you really Jack Regan? Or Benny with another one of his...
Come here. What do you think?
It's afternoon. Mill's starting again.
Yeah.
We'll have to hurry if we're going to catch the train, Jack Regan.
Come on, baby. Fare's already paid. Remember?
Return Ticket, a story of one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called high adventure. And heard in Return Ticket as Jack Regan was Ross Martin, with Mary Ashworth, Don Douglas, and Jack Orison. And next week, high adventure friends, we're proud to present a story of a man who found his future behind the cold steel of prison bars. We like to call it Lockstep. So until next week in Lockstep, look around you wherever you are. Watch it, but don't live it. This thing we call high adventure. Remember next week, Lockstep, a high adventure story of action which combined with Cloak and Dagger and following immediately over most of these stations, Big Guy, form a full hour and a half of mystery and adventure over NBC each week at this time. So stay with us now for Big Guy.
You, finding life rather dull, dreaming again of exotic places, wishing you were somewhere else, we offer you escape.
Escape us now to an island off the northwest coast of Africa, and the story of a man whose quest for happiness was blocked by a giant, a madman, and a beautiful girl, as Willard Kaufman tells it in his exciting story, The Gladiator.
Now Scarletti follows his advantage with a right cross onto McNabb's heart. Then a left to the chin and a right. And on the right. Oh, a wizard of a smash to McNabb's jaw, and the pride of Scotland is down. He's down. The referee motions Scarletti to a neutral corner and begins counting.
One, two, three, four.
I sat there in a neutral corner, not realizing it was over. This was it, Joe. I had to tell myself this was it. After 12 years in the scrambled brains business, 12 years of living like a monk and dying before each fight, this was it. And then I saw her. Dark she was, and pliantly slender. The most beautiful girl I'd ever seen. She sat there among the ringside bloodsuckers with the arc lights on her white face, as calm and incurious as a queen. Even a cold shower couldn't get her out of my mind. I don't know why. Her hair was the color of night, and she wore a diamond in it, like a star, when only one is shining in the sky. And now I'd never see her again.
Joe!
If I had any guts at all, I'd have gone to her as I left the ring. I'd have said, "You're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen." I'd have said, "What's your name? What are you doing here?"
Joe!
What? Oh, yeah, Pawnee.
You can climb out of shower now. Newspaper guys have gone.
You got rid of them real fast, huh?
It was a snap. Nobody's interested in a retired heavyweight champion. Not even on his first night of retirement.
Well, that's the way I want it, for the rest of my life.
Hey, here's your rub, Joe.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, a little peeved, the sports writers. They thought you'd stick around London for a while instead of tearing off to Rome.
Yeah, we got the plane tickets?
Yeah, and an hour to make the plane, so please don't...
Good evening, gentlemen. May a stranger congratulate you on your splendid victory.
Thanks, Bud, but now if you just...
My name is Verenius, Julius Verenius.
Oh, it's nice knowing you, but we're sort of in a hurry.
May I introduce my niece? Come in, my dear. Lucrezia.
Hello.
Hello.
I, thought I'd never see you again.
Where did you see me before?
In the ring. I mean, when I was in the ring.
Oh.
I... thought you were the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen.
Hey, Joe, we better get going. We'll miss connections.
Mr. Scarletti, I wonder if you and your manager would consent to be my guests on your trip to Rome. I assure you no public conveyance could be as pleasant as the one I offer. Eh, Lucrezia?
Well, there are certain compensations about esteem, yeah.
Thanks a lot, but we couldn't impose on you.
But I insist, my dear sir. Mr. Scarletti, you see, I am a student of the boxing. I should enjoy talking with you. I should be honored playing host to the greatest of all champions.
I'm sorry, Mr. Verenius, but...
Please.
Mr. Verenius, we'd be delighted to go.
Yeah, but Joe...
Your niece won't mind.
I would love having you.
Splendid. I'll have your baggage picked up at the airport. I can't tell you what a pleasure it will be for my niece and me.
The pleasure is all mine.
But I just do not understand. You had success. You were famous, and you gave it up. I would never have given it up.
You know, I like the way you dress. You fit into it nice.
You sound like a kid on his first date.
Well, in a way, I am. See, I've never been this close to a nice girl before.
I'm not so nice, Joe. And you're not so close.
Well, I can get closer.
No, Joe.
Yeah, 3 days on the water, 3 nights under the stars.
You sound absolutely lyrical. Like number one on the hit parade.
And it's still no Joe.
Don't rush me. You have plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty of time to make up for all...
You're like a spring, all wound up.
I've been wound up for 12 years.
But wind down. Talk a little. Talk it out.
Talk? That's kid stuff.
Oh, you don't know anything about kids. I don't believe you ever were a kid.
No, I guess I wasn't. The night of my 17th birthday, I had my 17th fight. That's some coincidence, huh?
Why cry about it? You're still young.
Yeah, I'm 29. Days are going fast, and what have I got to show for them?
Oh, nothing. Nothing except the satisfaction and the wealth and the fame of being the greatest fighter in the world.
And that world was pretty narrow. A ring 20 feet square surrounded by rope.
You're the first man since Fitzsimmons to hold the light heavyweight and the heavyweight championship at the same time.
Hey, how do you know so much about fighting?
Oh, I don't. I'm just quoting.
Speak for yourself. Tell me about yourself. Or is that kid stuff, too?
No, but... There's nothing to tell.
Oh, there must be. I mean, who are you? Do you live in Rome or Paris or neither or both? How does it feel to be rich when you don't have to fight for it?
Well, you say I would rather talk about you.
Lucretia, why are you so upset?
I'm not upset. Joe,
I gotta see.
Hey, where are your manners, Pony? You're interrupting.
Oh, that's all right. Joe, I'll see you later.
Lucretia,
Joe, there's something fishy about this whole lash-up.
What?
Listen to me, Joe. It's about this joke of Verinius.
Oh, what about him?
He's a stranger. He talks all the time about fighters like most guys talk about dames.
Can't stop him from talking.
And he looks at you like a crazy. Like a butcher fixing to carve up a prize bull.
Can't stop him from looking either.
All right. But remember the dressing room 3 nights back? When you said we'd go with him? And he said he'd pick up our gear at the airport?
So?
So how'd he know our gear was at the airport? How did he know we was going to Rome?
You told the sports writers. Maybe you read it somewhere.
I told him a couple of minutes before Verinius popped up. But that's not all. Joe, get your mind off that dame and listen.
All right, I'm listening.
Well, I've been trying to brush him all day. And on a little boat like this, it ain't easy, even in his fog. 10 minutes ago, he almost cornered me, so I took off up that stairway.
A ladder, aboard ship, you call it a ladder.
All right, so I go up, like the second floor.
Now, the bridge.
You stop interrupting. I mosey around, and I happen to notice that big map.
That's a chart. They mark our course on it, day by day.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I almost fall down. Joey, we ain't going to Rome.
What?
To go to Rome, we should have turned left at the Rock of Gibraltar. That's how you get to what you call the Mediterranean Sea.
And we didn't?
We kept going south. Right now, we're somewhere off Africa. What do we do, Joey?
We better talk to Verinius.
Hey, you might as well start talking. Here he comes.
Ah, there you are. I've been looking for you.
Verinius,
please, call me Julius. You are enjoying the trip. You are comfortable.
Well, a matter of fact...
Splendid. You look marvelous, Joe. You've never looked better.
Oh? What makes you so sure? You never saw me till 3 days ago.
That's where you are wrong. I've known you a long time, Joe, since the night you defeated Jackie Slade at the Polo Grounds in your native New York.
What? Well, that was 9, 10 years ago.
10. 10 years, 5.5 months. When you walked in the ring that night, you were just another preliminary boy. When you walked out, I knew you would be champion. Of all the bouts I have ever seen, that is the one I most enjoy remembering.
Well, that's the fight I'd like most to forget.
When you hit Slade in the second round, a magnificent punch. He was in the hospital 3 weeks.
He almost died. I wanted to give up fighting for good.
But why?
Because I don't like hurting people. I don't like to kill.
You don't like hurting... that is very funny.
Here's something funnier than that. Why aren't we going to Rome?
I hate noise. But I suppose the klaxon is necessary in the farm.
Come on, quit stalling, Varenius.
My dear Joe, I never stall. I certainly wouldn't try to now, when you're obviously so sure of what you're talking about.
Where are we going?
Home. Home. With me. Accuse me of selfishness, if you like. But I so much enjoy playing host to you that I thought I'd prolong the pleasure. Perhaps I should have consulted you about it, but you would not have accepted. Would you?
I would not.
You see? But, of course, we cannot turn back now.
Why not?
Because I have this gun. And it is loaded. And as I know very little about firearms, it might go off and hurt you. I would not want that to happen, Joe. It would interfere with my plans.
Oh? What plans are those?
Something I've thought about for 10 years, since the night at the Polo Grounds. I'll tell you all about it sometime soon. But now, if you'll head down that passageway, you'll find a small but comfortable brig ready to receive you. Let's go.
Escape, under the direction of Norman McDonald, returns in just a moment. Looking for a bookie? Investigators are, police are too, but some police are not looking for the bookies that are a major part of organized crime in America. CBS Radio, as the third in its important documentary series, The Nation's Nightmare, uncovers fascinating facts about the bookie business. Hear from police, criminals, victims, in their own voices, under authentic conditions. Hear CBS Radio's The Nation's Nightmare on most of these same stations tomorrow night. And now, back to Escape.
Some pleasure cruise this turns out to be. And all because you fall for a dame with slow gin eyes and a diamond in her hair. Some fair shuffle you got from her Uncle Julius. So, what are you going to do about it?
You're my manager, you tell me.
I'll tell you this much. We got to do something, even if it's wrong.
What can we do? Uncle Julius has got 4 aces and a gun. I got 4 walls and I got bars on the door.
I'll tell you what I got. I got a mad on that dame worse than I got on her Uncle Julius. If I ever lay hands on either of them, I'll...
Laisse-moi!
Hey, what's that?
Monsieur, laisse-moi, je dis! Laisse-moi!
Well, if it ain't the dame with the slow gin eyes.
Yeah. Varenius must have flipped to lock up his ever-loving niece. Now listen, baby, you better give it to us straight. What's this all about?
I don't know. I saw him pull that gun on you, so I go to him. I say, what kind of business is this? I say, this is not my deal.
What deal?
Likely story.
I swear. Practical jokes are okay, darling, but not with a gun. Toss me in here with you.
So that's what you get for talking back to your Uncle Julius.
He's not my Uncle Julius.
He must have disowned her.
I never saw him till a week ago. He comes in this club in Paris where I'm singing. He offered me 20,000 francs to go to London with him. Just for the weekend, he said. To play a practical joke on 2 friends.
Well, if we're the friends, I wonder how he treats his enemies.
I'm afraid we're going to find out.
Well, let's find out now.
But how?
Pony, get that tin basin over there.
Basin?
Yeah, get it. All right, Lucretia, take off a shoe.
Shoe?
Yeah, do what I say. Now, when I start rattling the door, you start banging away at the bulkhead.
Oh, I get you.
All right, are you ready? Okay, let's go.
All right. All right. All right. Now, what do you want?
We want you should tell us a story.
Where are we going? And why?
You are asking for the story of my life.
Then tell it. Come on in and tell it.
No, thank you. I'll tell it on this side of the bar. Does the name of Varenius mean anything to you?
Nothing.
Once I knew a lightweight called Speedy Varenius, he was a bum, too.
Yes. Speedy Varenius, you were a constant loser. But the greatest loser of all was Publius Servilius. He was commander-in-chief of the Roman Imperial Army 2,000 years ago. He was sent to put down the revolt of Spartacus the Gladiator. He was badly beaten.
That's tough.
That horn!
Publius returned to Rome in disgrace. He was ostracized, consigned to a tiny island in the farthest rim of the Roman Empire. That's where he went with his wife and his slaves and his gold.
That's where he lived. And so did his sons. And their sons.
That's where I live today.
That is where we're going.
You expect us to believe that?
If you wish. Tomorrow, you'll see for yourself.
All right, then, for tonight, we'll let it pass. Now for the second question.
Why are you going there? My dear fellow,
you're going there to fight.
You're going for the hardest fight of your life.
Oh, so that's it. Well, let me tell you, Buster. Joe will belt the ears off any bum you put in the ring with him.
There won't be any ring, Pony.
He'll cold cock your bum in any round your name.
There won't be any round.
Joe will kill him.
Possibly. Or Joe himself might be killed. You see, Pony, this fight will be to the death.
We got there the next night. A little island and a mantle of fog that hung solid as grease over land and sea. The dock gave way to a worn stone path, and suddenly out of the fog an enormous structure appeared with towers and battlements plunging so high they were lost in the gloom.
Look at this. Like a castle or something.
Not as big as Radio City, but almost.
You like it, Joe?
I'd like it better if you'd keep that cannon out of my spine.
I apologize, Joe, but I cannot chance your escaping the fog.
The fog is most regrettable. Usually the view from here is magnificent.
Yeah, on a clear day you can see Catalina.
Or at least the African mainland. I admire your talent for jokes in so strange a situation.
The situation's impossible. You kidnap me to kill or be killed for your amusement. And now you regret that the view is not up to par.
You're shocked, Joe, simply because my values differ from yours.
Well, that's a mild way of putting it.
You're shocked because you might die for my amusement.
Death is not amusing where I come from.
Where you come from. I assure you I am equally shocked by the values of your world.
At least we've gone a couple of thousand years from barbarism.
You've gone from barbarism to decadence without touching civilization.
We don't kill men for amusement.
I often wonder what you kill them for. Yet the killing goes on, year after year. What's war but mass murder?
All right, but basically our way of life...
Basically, you have no way of life. You have a culture of gadgets to which no one has contributed anything of value since the Romans invented the bathtub.
Oh, don't argue with him, Joe. It is getting us nowhere.
Quite right, my dear. Anyway, this is as far as I go.
What's on the other side of the wall?
You'll find out. As soon as I find the key. Here it is. Inside, if you please. And make yourself at home. I am your slave.
Yeah. Or vice versa.
The iron door swung shut and we were in an ancient Roman village. The stone wall surrounding us must have been 8 feet thick and about four times as high, and notched along the top with saw teeth. Mud huts crouching in the soupy night formed an irregular circle around the deserted marketplace, just like those pictures in the first year Latin book. Only Uncle Julius had tricked up the joint with a few of the modern gadgets he so much despised.
Look, Joe. On top of the wall, between the notches.
Yeah. Machine gun. Searchlight.
About every 50 yards. Like a concentration camp.
Joy. What are we going to do?
You keep asking me that.
Would you keep ducking the answer?
I don't know. Maybe we ought to dig up some local talent. Maybe we could talk to them.
What do you suppose they speak?
Maybe Latin. You know any Latin?
A pig Latin, I know. I could talk it like a native when it was the thing around Jacob's Beach. Hey, what's that? Joey. Look at him.
I looked at the man who came out of the fog. His face was scarred, and his shoulders were like a pair of shovels, and great welts of muscle shifted when the shovels moved under the thin toga. One of his hands was curved like half a watermelon around what seemed to be a lash, a double strip of rawhide studded with iron spikes. He was the biggest man I ever saw.
You are Scarlatti. I am Crixus.
Pleased to meet you.
I come from Caesar.
Caesar?
Caesar Varinius. He talked to me a long time. Explain to Scarlatti, he say. Answer questions, tell him what to expect. I tell you what to expect in one word.
And what is the word, Crixus?
Death.
Anyway, he speaks English.
Death is the same in any tongue.
What makes you so sure I'll die?
Because tomorrow in the combat, I kill you.
Well, you look like the kid who could do it.
Caesar say to show you this.
Now, what is it? A lash?
It is Cestus, the gauntlet. You wear it, so. One in each hand with the leather thongs tied to the arm and the iron studs over the knuckles.
What a weapon.
You fight with these?
Of course.
Yeah, but what if Joe don't want to fight?
Those who will not fight are killed by the guns.
And there is no way out? No way to escape?
Three men tried in last few months and two last year.
They were killed by the guns?
They were killed by the gladiators.
But why?
You see, it would be difficult for Caesar if a slave escaped and talked. So Caesar has made it difficult for all of us. He wired the island with enough explosive to blow it off the earth. If a slave escapes, Caesar touches a button. And, whoa! It is the end of us all. He's very clever, Caesar.
Crixus, how many gladiators are there here?
Once 120. Now me. And you.
How many men on the guns?
12 guns on the wall. 24 men. Each gun is placed to cover all the others. Clever.
But they're about 50 yards apart. A man might slip between them in the fog.
There are searchlights.
What do you think, Joe?
The fog, Pony. The lights are useless in the fog.
Yeah, but how can we climb the wall?
Crixus, each gladiator had a pair of these gauntlets, right?
Of course.
Where are they now?
In that chest over there.
And it's locked.
Of course. I have the key.
Well, come on, open it, Crixus.
Why?
Look, we'll tie them together and make a rope with a loop on one end. We'll swing the loop over a notch on top of the wall.
No, Scarlatti. No, not while I am here.
You would rather fight than be free?
I kill Scarlatti tomorrow, I am free. Caesar has said it.
And if you don't kill me, you'll be dead.
I kill you like a fly.
It's no use, Joe. This jerk's lined up with Varinius. I hate to think of tomorrow.
Yeah. I guess I'll have to tangle with him tonight.
What you say, Scarlatti?
Nothing, Crixus. Just
this, damn it!
Boy, you sure clobbered.
All right, let's find that key. Now, here it is. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, Pony, now take these gauntlets and tie him up. Tie him up good.
He'll never get out.
Use one for a gag.
Right.
Tie them tight, Joe. You think they will hold?
I don't know, baby. But in about 10 minutes, we're going to find out. I missed the first try.
But the second, caught and held. And I went up, hand over hand. And then the rope tightened below me as Lucretia and Tony began to climb. The machine gun was about 60 feet away somewhere beyond the fog. But the whistling of the gunner was a guide. Foghorn. All right. Now down the other side. Come on.
Greg's us.
He must have bit through the leather gag.
Yeah.
The alarm.
Come on, run for the boat. There's the boat, Lucretia. Come on. Just a little further. All right. Cast off, Pony.
Not just yet. Put up your hand.
Not this time, Perennius.
Stay back. I kill all of you.
Maybe one of us, but one of us will get you.
Stay back. Stay back, I...
Joe, are you hurt?
No, not much. Get aboard.
Has it hurt you much, Joe? Your wound?
No.
Look, Joe. The sun. The fog is gone. There's the African coast.
Yeah? Look over there, you see? The island of Varinius.
Yeah. Joe! There is smoke coming from it!
The island! Look at it!
Oh, Joe, he did it! He blew it up! The whole island! And yourself, too.
Yeah? In a few hours, the water won't even be muddy out there.
Joe?
Yeah?
There's only one thing wrong with this whole lash-up.
What is that, Bonnie?
Nobody's gonna believe any part of this now.
Under the direction of Norman MacDonald, Escape has brought you The Gladiator by Millard Kaufman, starring Bill Conrad. Featured in the cast were Lou Krugman, Ted Osborne, and Lillian Byeth, with Paul Frees and Byron Kane. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens.
Next week, escape with us to the Yellow Sea and the story of a man who fought the entire Japanese Navy with an ancient submarine and an untrained crew, as Alec Hudson tells it in his exciting story, Up Periscope.
When an actor takes his work so seriously that he begins living the role in real life, a situation supercharged with tension develops. Tomorrow night on most of these same stations, CBS Radio brings you Douglas Fairbanks Jr. in the Broadway Playhouse's A Double Life. Hear what happens when a star portrays the tragic role of Othello offstage as well as on. It's a Broadway Playhouse thriller on CBS Radio tomorrow night. Roy Rowan speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's going to do it for the Relic Radio Show this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections this time. You can find more from High Adventure and Escape at relicradio.com alongside past episodes of this show. All the others, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have. If you'd like to support, give that donate button a click. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts, though any amount is always appreciated. Thanks once again for your support. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.